Amen. Amen. Well, today I was given a topic to preach on. So I'm not going to preach on Exceed. I'm going to preach on a message called Jesus Knows You, Jesus Sees You, and Jesus Saves You. That was the topic of a kids' camp. Before I preach this message, I want to give an honor to our kids' church teachers, directors, and our volunteers who make all of this possible. This was the most organized kids camp, 3 days, that I have ever seen. And the cool thing was I was privileged to give an altar call on Friday night. And what I experienced blessed me more than I think I blessed the kids. When I came out to here, the kids were so pumped up that all I had to say, "Do you love Jesus?" And they were like, louder than this microphone, "Yeah, we love Jesus." Kids, do you love Jesus? Yeah! Imagine 115 of them, you know? How many of you want to be saved? They're like, "Yeah." How many want to let Jesus into your heart? And they're all like, "Yeah." I was like, I could whisper this and they'll yell it so loud. And it was just, they blessed me so much. I will never forget this altar call. And I do hundreds of altar calls, you know, as a preacher. But, and I'll do one today, but just the kids blessed me so much. Amen. Amen. So, today we're going to talk about a guy named Cornelius. How many of you know that Cornelius is a biblical name? And it's a guy in the Bible. Cornelius, okay? He was a Roman centurion, meaning he was like a commander of an army. He had 100 soldiers underneath of him. So he was kind of an important man. And usually commanders are rough and tough, right? If you think of a warlord, what do you think? You don't think he's some weak guy, you know, just sitting there. "Can you guys please go and fight for me?" No, he's a guy who won the respect of his soldiers. He's the guy who was known for his bravery. Kids, how many of you are brave today? Yeah. Right? Parents, no. Right? So he was a general, he was a commander. And the reason these people rose up to this position, because they were not weak. They were usually strong. They were the ones who, in the battlefield, during times of war, made themselves known. They're the one who made the name for themselves in a time of battle. So you wouldn't think that he would be a really godly man, would you? A Roman centurion, a godly man? Probably not. A drunkard? Yes. A womanizer? Yes. A fighter? Yes. A killer? Yes. But not godly man. Well, today we're going to look at exception. Cornelius was that exception. In Acts chapter 10, verses 1 through 8, we're going to read about him. In Caesarea, there lived a Roman army officer named Cornelius, who was a captain of an Italian regiment. He was a devout, God-fearing man. What? A centurion. He was a devout, God-fearing man, as was everyone in his household. This guy was different. And notice, he was a Roman. Romans did not believe in the God of the Bible. Romans believe in stars and Pluto and Venus, and they believe in all these other gods, and they believe that their president was a god. How many of you kids know that our president is not a god? Just a man. Well, they believed it was wrong, meaning they didn't believe in the real God of the Bible. So how did this man become a good man? He was devout, God-fearing, and everyone was in his household. He gave generously to the poor and prayed regularly to God. My question to you today, do good people go to heaven? Do spiritual people go to heaven? Do people who pray to God go to heaven? Because this is the question that rises up in our society. We live in a culture that says as long as you're a good person, right? And do more good deeds than bad deeds, then if there is a heaven, then you'll go there. But is that necessarily true? And we will find out today. Because Cornelius was a good person. Cornelius was honest. How many of you kids know that honesty is important? Yeah, right? Honesty is important. He was honorable. He prays. He is generous. And his heart is open to the poor. We could say he's a good man. The Bible says he was a good man. He was a spiritual man. You know, we hear today that I'm more spiritual than religious. That's what Cornelius was. He was more spiritual than religious. Okay? But there was a problem. He did not know Jesus. What's the problem, Pastor? Why does it matter if you know Jesus or not? Right? That's the question. That's what our culture says. All you have to do is be good, and there's multiple ways to heaven, and you find your way, and I'll find my way. And if I say my way is only Jesus, then they'll say, you're primitive. By saying that, you're saying that you know more, and your way is better, and my way is primitive. So whose way is right? There was an example that I want to tell you. Imagine you're in a dark room, kids. And parents, and grandparents. And there is a big elephant, but it's dark in a room. So tell me your name.
Annabella.
So Annabella stands behind the elephant, and she gets to touch the elephant to see what it is. Everybody has to identify what it is. So Annabella touches the tail, and she thinks it's a snake. So she says, elephant is like a snake. Right? Then Sam, you get to touch the leg of an elephant, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And Sam touches the leg of an elephant and he says, it's like a tree, right? Somebody else touches the ears of an elephant and they're like, oh, it's like big leaves. Yeah. Somebody touches the stomach of an elephant. Oh, that's my dad right there. No, I'm just kidding. Hairy and stuff. What? Nothing. Okay. Somebody touches the nails of an elephant and they're like, oh, that's like little rocks. Okay. Somebody smells the elephant and they're like, that's my dad for sure. But how many of them were right? None of them. Because it takes turning on the light. So actually, although they got parts of it, right? But parts of it doesn't make it the whole. Somebody has to, from the outside, turn on the light and to see what it really is. That it's an elephant. It's not a snake. It's not a tree. It's not a leaf. It's an elephant. So we're talking about being good. Is that enough to go into heaven? The answer in the Bible is no. Because good compared to what? Right? Compared to who? When you compare yourself to other people, yeah, you can say you're better than them. But if you compared yourself to holy God, who's perfect, then none of us are good enough. Amen. Right? Amen. Ever stole the cookie from a cookie jar? The thing is, my daughter, she's three, she discovered that if she puts a quarter in like a restaurant or someplace like that, that she could get the bubble gum, you know, those balls. And so she is so sneaky. We're sitting there eating with our friends or whatever, and she comes in and she grabs a quarter, she puts it in her mouth like this, holds it, and she keeps digging. I'm like, Hadessa, what are you doing? That's stealing it. You gotta ask. You can't go like that to the bank and say, hey, let me hold a stack here of 100. Let me get some more here. Are we really good? Maybe by human standards, yes, but by God's standards, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the reason that's important, because God only accepts perfection, and none of us are perfect. So how do we get saved? Do we get saved by praying? You know that atheists actually pray too? They say, it makes me feel better. I'm not praying to anybody. I'm just praying because it makes me feel better. You know that, right? So just because you're praying doesn't mean you are going to heaven. Just because you're a good person, some people do good deeds so everybody can applaud. Applaud, 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 offer the applaud, right? Why are you good? Some people are super nice. Why are you super nice? Are you doing it for the glory of God? Are you doing it to be seen by man? Because Jesus said, if you are doing good to be seen by man, that's all the reward you will get. It will profit you nothing when it comes to God. When you don't do it for people, but do it for God, then, Bible says, great is your reward. Amen. So, Cornelius is a good man. Let's put the verse 2 or 3. What verse are we on? 3. So one afternoon, about 3 o'clock, Cornelius, he had a vision in which he saw an angel of God coming towards him. Cornelius, the angel said, how cool would that be to see an angel? Some of you have seen an angel. It's pretty cool. The first time I saw an angel in my dream, I freaked out and I said, leave, please leave, 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 leave. Get out, get out, get out. And I woke up. I was like, so it doesn't sound like I'm bragging. I just want to share something with you. 2 weeks ago on Friday, I had a visitation. So I know what this means. And some of you have had this too. So it's not like I'm only a unique person. And I was preaching a first service. This was a vision that I had. I was preaching the first service like this today. You guys are in the first service. And the first service was done, and it wasn't in this building. Hint, hint. I think God is trying to show us something. We're growing out of this building really fast. Amen. And I preached the first service. It was a much bigger building. And then a lady from a church asked me to go and fix her car. I'm like, I only got half an hour, lady, but I'll go do it. You know, I'm the hands-on type pastor. You know, you ask me something, I'll fix your car. You need a starter change? Fine. So I go out there and I open the hood and I see that her plug, electrical plug, is unplugged. So I'm trying to force that sucker in there and the electrical plug won't plug in. And I look up and I see a black man shining sitting in front of me on the hood of the car, on the windshield kind of, on the hood. He's huge, about, I don't know, 6'8" or so. How do I know he's black? Because he has features of a black person, but his face is shining, so you can't see really that he's black. How many of you know that whatever color you are today, that's the color you'll be in heaven? You didn't know that. John in the book of Revelation, so that's why you got to love yourself, and you got to love your color. If you're whitey-whitey, you got to love that. If you're black, dark black, you got to love that. If you're brown, yellow, you got to love that. And here's why. Because John says, I have seen before the throne of God 10,000 upon 10,000 upon 10,000 people from every nation, every tribe, every color. Notice they obtained their all life matters. Thank you all. Amen. And so he says, I saw everybody standing and worshiping God. This angel, and you know, white people usually see white angels. How many of you know that? Black people, if they see an angel, they usually see black angels because that's who we are. We kind of, you know, that's, you know, God still uses our mind and our imagination to show us pictures. Yeah. He still goes through us, you know. He gives you as much as you can handle. Now, some of you are ultra Baptists, so you're like, no heresy, pastor. I'm not preaching. This is not a gospel that I'm, new gospel that I'm presenting. I'm just telling you the experience. And because it was similar, 2 weeks ago, I've talked about this. And I said, and then he said, I said, as I saw him, I'm like, oh. He said, I've been sent by God to tell you, to deliver a message to you. And he had this on his hair. He had about hair, this, he had like dreads, whatever you call them. Yeah, some, no, not like that, but like hanging. Like your cousin Pete, or your nephew Pete. Dreads, yeah, that's what I'm going for. That's what he had, and he had a headband kind of pulling his hair back, and light is coming from him. So I asked him, are you God? He said, no. I said, are you Jesus? He said, no. I said, are you an angel? He said, yes. I should have asked him something else. It's like, duh, he's not God. Duh, he's not Jesus. Of course he's an angel. You know, definitely not God. Could be Jesus. Definitely not God. Okay. And so I'm like, God sitting on the roof of your car, of lady's car, you know. Definitely not God. And I said, are you angel? He said, yes, I'm an angel, and I've been sent by God to deliver a message to you. And I in my mind, I said, so what is it? And he said, God loves you. And to me, I was like, there's going to be some big message, you know? And in my mind, I'm like, I know that. In my mind. And in his mind, he tells me, no, you don't. Burn. Yeah, that's right. That's right. And I've been thinking about it for 2 weeks, guys. I've been preaching the love of God, but Paul says, so I may know the love of God. We know this much. And God's love for us. And I think this message was meant to deliver to you guys. A couple of days ago, I was very discouraged. You know, sometimes when you have the biggest victories in your life, Satan attacks you the most. And I think the reason God allows that is so you can stay humble. And I've had some big victories this week. I'm not going to share them, but some great things happened. And then bang, like out of nowhere, something so little just started bothering me in my heart. You know, Jesus said, don't let your heart be troubled. The problem you're dealing with is not that big. It's in your heart. Heart is your mind. Right? Don't let your mind be troubled. And I allowed myself to be troubled. So I was so tired. It was so hot. I went, took a nap. I took a nap and I woke up and my heart is still troubled. You know, sometimes you take a nap and it's over. You forget it. Not this time. I woke up with this troubled mind. And as I woke up, I'm just about going to into the pity party and feeling bad for myself. And suddenly I hear in my thoughts, in my mind, God loves you. Why are you tripping? And I was like, true. God loves me. He favors me. Why am I tripping? I'm beloved by God. I'm beloved. And so I began to confess to myself, I'm loved by God. And that troubled heart went like, boom, gone. Whatever you're dealing with today, whatever you're dealing with this week, you got to remember that God loves you as much as he loves Jesus. God loves you as much as he loves your pastor. And so when the devil says you're not good enough, you're not worthy enough, you are not capable enough, you're not educated enough, you don't make enough money, you don't have enough stuff, say, but God. But God. Say, but God. Say it again, but God loves me. And if God is for me, who can be against me? But I messed up this week. So does his love stop for you because you've messed up? He loves the broken sheep more than he sometimes the good one. Amen. Because God says, I will leave 99 so I can go and find that one that is lost. Leave the 99. So leave all of us here. And go for the one out there that Jesus just left the building. No, I'm just kidding. He's still here. Thank God he has a spirit. So he's everywhere. Otherwise, he would have. Anyway, where are we going with this? Amen. That God loves you. Cornelius stared at him in terror. I know that word terror, because the first time 10 years ago when I saw a vision of an angel, I was terrified. And I said, please leave. In my thoughts, you don't have to speak to an angel with words. Most of it is in your thoughts. You can communicate. In heaven, you communicate through thoughts. How many times you guys had something so nice to say to your spouse, but you just were so stupid with words? Baby, I meant to say it, what my heart was feeling, you know, but I have accent in two languages. Actually, I have accent in all the languages I speak. There's not one language that I speak that I don't have accent in. True story. That's why in heaven, if you choose to, you can communicate mind-to-mind communication. So you can express exactly the love that you feel that words cannot describe or express. Amen. And so Cornelius stared at him in terror. What is it, sir? He asked the angel. The angel replied, your prayers and gifts to the poor have been received by God as an offering. So out of a million, billion people, God has noticed you. And notice what God notices. Back. Verse 4. Your prayers and your gifts to the poor. See, Cornelius was a Roman, so he knew all the Roman deity. He knew all the Roman gods. He was serving, his post was in Judea. So he heard about the Jewish God, one and only God. So I think Cornelius was confused. We Romans believe in all these gods. Jews believe in this one God. But look, their God is so weak that he can't even rescue them from Romans. So I think Cornelius was a confused man, like many people in our generation. So you know what he did? He's like, I don't know what my ancestor believed, and I don't know what Jews believe. But I know there's a God. Bill Gates, one of the richest men in the world, he said by looking at genetics of DNA code of human beings or any beings, he says, you can't help but see that there's a creator. You cannot look at the stars and the creation and go into sub-molecules and not think that there's a God. You have to, if you're honest with yourself, you see there's a creator. If you go into and look at, with a microscope, look at a virus, you will see it's a mechanism inside of it. Some of you don't believe me. But some of you are smart, so you've seen it already. And somebody told us it was evolution, whatever. But I don't care what somebody told you. When you look at it yourself, you don't have to be too smart to realize there has to be a design here. Has to be a design. But Cornelius is confused. He's like, I don't know what to believe, so I'm just going to pray. I'm going to be spiritual. And some of you have felt that. You got tired of a church because you've been hurt by a church. You got tired by the religion because maybe somebody forced you, and maybe you came to church and you saw some imperfect people. Who told you that in church they'll have perfect people? Who lied to you by telling, you know that I'm imperfect, I sin probably every day? There's not one righteous. You got to lower your expectations when you come to church. Just because people act all holy on Sunday doesn't mean that they're holy on Monday. It's just a mask. It's just an act on Sunday. We all, if you find us at our worst, you'll be really disappointed. You lower your expectations because none of us are perfect. But sometimes we get wrong thoughts. Sometimes we believe wrong things. We think that just because they're in church and they preach about perfection, that means they have to be perfect. No, not necessarily. For example, any of you here took a driver's ed? Driver's ed, yeah? Your driver's ed woman or a man taught you about perfect driving. And if you didn't do it right, what did they do? They failed you. So you can say they were judgmental. Because if you follow them for a week and they're driving, I bet you, come on, somebody, they are breaking laws. Even policemen break laws. The other day, a cop passed me with a light and went in front of me. And then when I got to the red light, he was standing there without lights anymore. So I'm like, what were you doing? Did you just need to pass everybody? True story. A policeman who fails you or gives you a ticket for driving 10 miles over himself breaks the law. Huh. A preacher who preaches to you the word of God himself breaks the word of God. And God says, here's the reason why I give you imperfect man, so they can sympathize with you. And so you can sympathize with them. We're not perfect. Your spouse is not perfect. Your kids are not perfect. And even if you've been going to church for 2 years, you're still not perfect. So stop being so judgmental. Stop seeing a speck in your brother's eye. Right? Look at your own stuff. Amen. So Cornelius got really disgusted with church. If you are in church long enough, you could get disgusted in church too. So Cornelius started just praying to God. And the angel comes to him and begins to preach the gospel. And Cornelius gets saved. And everybody lives happily ever after. Correct? No. What is it, sir, that he asked the angel? And the angel replied, your prayers and gifts to the poor have been received by God as an offering. Now send some man to Joppa and summon a man named Simon Peter. He's staying with Simon, a tanner who lives near the seashore. As soon as the angel has gone, and this translation doesn't tell us, but the original version says, and he will tell you the words of truth. Hold on. God sends an angel, but the angel cannot deliver a message of the gospel? Huh. So the angel says, go send. There's Peter, the disciple Peter. Go get him and he'll tell you the message of the truth. And here's a lesson. The angels are not permitted by God to preach the gospel to Cornelius. And based on a pattern of the New Testament, the angels are not permitted to preach the gospel. You know who is? Us. Not just the preachers. The kids are permitted to preach the gospel. One story touched my heart. One of the ladies, her name is Marnie. Some of you, if you know her, she comes with like 10 kids. All of them are adopted. Her kids grew up and she adopted other kids. And she comes here and they were at this camp and a kids camp. And after camp, this one boy went to Walmart. And this boy came to a lady and said, you look beautiful, I like your hair. And he said, I want to be like Jesus, kind like Jesus. And the lady found Marnie and said, I want to come to your church. Because of your little boy who went to kids camp. True story. That touched my heart so much. So listen, the angels are not permitted to preach the gospel, but kids are. Oh, listen to me. And if kids can preach the gospel, middle schoolers can preach the gospel. And if middle schoolers, then high schoolers can preach the gospel. And if high school, then college. And then middle age. And any age can preach the gospel. God sent an angel to Cornelius, who was a godly man, and the angel cannot preach to him. Go get Peter, he said. It seems that it would have been easier for an angel to simply share the gospel with the Cornelius. But the angels are not permitted to preach and share the gospel message of Jesus with people. They are servants of God who are involved in the process of people being saved or born again. We see this pattern in the New Testament where angels assist those who are saved and to be saved. We don't see angels preaching the gospel until the church age is over. Did you know that even Jesus cannot preach the gospel right now to you? You didn't know this, right? Let me show you. Let me see. Acts chapter 9, verse 3. Acts chapter 9, verse 3 says this. Paul is a hater of Christians. He is persecuting Christians. He's putting them in jail, kind of like in China or in Turkey right now, okay? Or in other countries where they put Christians in jail or kill them or behead them. So Paul is that dude. He hates Christianity. As he was approaching Damascus, so he's going to Damascus, Paul is, to arrest Christians on this mission, a light from heaven suddenly shone down around him. Verse 4, he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Verse 5, who are you, Lord? Saul asked. And the voice replied, I'm Jesus, the one you are persecuting. Then Paul says, what should I do? And you know what Jesus says? Go into Damascus and it will be told you what to do. Jesus cannot preach the gospel to him. Go, and there is a person. How will our city be saved? Is it going to be by supernatural, angelic revival? No. It's going to be people touched by God. People who obey God, who go out on the streets, to their neighbors, to their schools, to their workplaces, to daycares, and tell others that Jesus knows, like he knows Cornelius. Jesus sees his works like he sees Cornelius' works. And Jesus wants to save Cornelius. I have a plan. If we're going to it, we're going to it. And then I got to get quickly through this. We're done with time. There was a guy named Ananias, a believer, in Damascus. And angel appears to him and says, hey, there is this guy named Paul. You've heard of him? He's the number one killer of Christians. He hates you guys. He's now praying. And he's blind. God will use a wake-up call. But he will not preach to you. It has to come through the Bible or through another person. Has to come through another person. So when Ananias, verse 17, 9:17. So Ananias went and found Saul. He laid his hands on him and said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road has sent me so that you might again regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Verse 18. And instantly something like scales fell from Saul's eyes and he regained his sight. Then he got up and was baptized. Same thing happens in chapter 10 to Cornelius. Cornelius sends two or three of his soldiers. They get Peter. Peter comes and preaches the gospel. And as he's preaching the gospel, Holy Spirit falls upon them and they believe the whole family is saved. And the next thing they do is they get baptized. There was an Ethiopian eunuch, Ethiopian treasurer, secretary of treasury. He was reading the Bible and not getting it. So angel was sent to Philip. A guy named Philip says, go and meet this guy on the road here and preach to him. So Philip goes and preaches to the Ethiopian treasurer. And then Ethiopian treasurer in chapter 8, verse 34, the eunuch asked Philip, tell me, was the prophet talking about himself or someone else? So he began with the same scripture Philip told him, the good news about Jesus. As they rode alone, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, look, there is some water. Why can't I be baptized? Some of you are still tripping about this baptism thing. You already believe in Jesus, but you're like, I'm not going to get baptized. Every instance in the Bible when they believed, they were baptized. Look, there's water. Why can't I be baptized? He says. Verse 38, he ordered the carriage to stop, and they went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. Here's where we see teleportation in the Bible. Angel of God snatched Philip. He disappeared. That's some crazy, I can use a word, but I won't. Stuff in that. See, God's technology is way higher than our technology. God does have the technology for teleportation. We're still trying to teleport information. We're just teleporting information, right? Right? We can send from one tower to another tower. That's how cell phones work. Information. We can do information. God can do matter. God can teleport matter. If you're a scientist, keep working. Maybe we'll get there one day. If Jesus doesn't come. Actually, there are studies already being done on teleportation. They can teleport gases now and things like that. How many of you are blessed today?